Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight and listening to some wonderful ideas about your own story. Isn't it fun to talk about you? This is going to be about you and your story. We're also going to talk about documenting the positive. How often do we do that, right? It doesn't matter where you are, in the first chapter, somewhere in the middle, wrapping it all up, you're stuck on the forward. Maybe you're still creating your own forward. This is your story, and you get to say how it goes, what people read, and hopefully the impression that it makes. Sometimes finding the positive is a daily challenge, but the importance is a balancing act of good and bad. Don't just get stuck in the bad, right? Balancing it is worth the work. So let's find a way to change your focus so that the positive aspects are too hard to overlook. So let's get to it. How would you like to be remembered? Sorry to jump to the back of your book and skip all your chapters, but true to goal setting, it's good to picture the end result and then work your way back, right? What do you want people to remember about you? What kind of mark do you want to make or leave on this world? Have you thought about that? As you may have heard, perception is reality. What people perceive becomes their reality. So the better question might be, how do you wish to be perceived? Side note, as you're thinking through that, just like you can't win the lottery without buying a ticket, you can't be remembered for something you aren't currently doing. Nice thought, but even perception doesn't work like that. This might help you out. In the story today, just metaphorically, of course, what would the perception of you be today? What do you think people would say you contributed today? If today was the last day and your ghostwriter was starting to write your story, what would they say? It's important to think about it that way because time is not infinite, and procrastination in this instance is futile. It's not a question of, what are you waiting for? It's a plea. What on earth are you waiting for? Matt and I had one of our many road trip discussions on this last trip to South Bend this past weekend. And we were talking about the state of the state and the world and our frustration to make a genuine impact. I mean, we aren't in the position to change policy or right the wrongs of the world. And you may feel similar. When you watch the news or scroll your social media, you can start to feel the weight of negativity and all that is wrong with the world, right? But what can you do? You're just one person, and the last time I checked, I don't have a bat phone or a direct link to the decision makers on Capitol Hill. But I do have energy, positive energy, that I can share on a daily basis to everyone I come in contact with and those I seek out. I can harness that momentum and just maybe create a ripple effect that could be felt even after I'm gone. Imagine if we all adopt that philosophy. What type of effect could we have? You see, every day you create impact with your words and your actions. For most of us, that impact is never felt or measured. We say or do something and then we move on to the next thing, never really understanding where or how our words and actions are received. Most importantly, where did they go from there? That's the ripple. Just as a positive ripple can create a positive impact felt far and wide, so can a negative ripple. It can poison beyond your reach. You have power to lift and encourage, and you have power to deflate and discourage. Power. And just when you thought you were powerless, You have power. The intentional positive ripple could result in a change that transcends generations. Think about that. Mother Teresa said, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across waters to create many ripples." Your legacy should be deeply considered. It takes on immortality, and it's how we live on after death. If we think of our legacy as a gift, it places an emphasis on a thoughtful, meaningful, and intentional legacy, right? This is a gift that you're giving after you're gone. The consequences of what we do now will outlive us, right? It's more than just what's written on the tombstone. Sorry to be so grave, no pun intended. But what one leaves behind is the quality of one's life, the summation of the choices, the actions that you would have made throughout your life. It has to do with your spiritual, your moral values, all of that combined. Here are a few ideas to get you started on the back of your cover. First of all, know your values. What principles guide you through life? What are your non-negotiables? Take some time and be specific. Avoid fluff here, because no legacy was built on an empty affirmation like, "I want to be a better person," right? Be a little bit more specific. Also, know your worth. Everyone has assets and virtues, from dollars in the bank to passions and for volunteerism, for helping, for giving back. Before you start your grand journey of legacy building, do a deep dive. Determine your assets, your passions. What are they? What motivates you? These, matched with your values, will help frame a daily life of legacy building. When you think about it that way, can't you see how you could be more intentional every day? If every day you were adding to your legacy, wouldn't you be more intentional with what you did? Also, know the need. After you document your values and you understand what you have to offer, there is something else to consider. A lasting legacy must carefully consider the needs of the community and the world. The question of legacy building isn't simply, what do I want to give, but what can I give that the world needs? Right? Someone once told me, for business, kind of the same thing. You know, open a business that solves a need. Don't just open something that makes you excited or happy. Find a need, solve it, right? Then open a business around that. Okay, so we have a start. We are on our way to leaving behind something meaningful that will be felt for generations, right? Now let's start exploring the chapters of your book, your story, and documenting the positives. Let's start out with documenting the positive. First of all, let me ask you a question. Why is the bad stuff so much easier to recall? Do you know what I mean? You are having a great day. Things are going your way. The sun is shining. Birds are chirping. You are positive this is going to be your day. When all of a sudden you hit a snag, something challenging that doesn't go your way, and bam, you've had a horrible day. That's it. Everything is ruined. Someone asks you how your day went, and you respond in a huff. "Ugh, my day was horrible." What happened to all the positive things? Were they trumped by the negative and lost forever? Yeah, happens frequently. Dr. Peter Bentley, he's the writer of What Stuff, or Why Stuff Happens. It's really not stuff, it's the other word, but it's the science of a really bad day. He says, yes, it's our fault, I'm afraid. The statistics show that people who believe in bad luck will have more accidents on Friday the 13th. Those who have a negative attitude are more likely to endow normal little mishaps with some mystical significance. Some psychologists even suggest that it's a way of subconsciously avoiding responsibility for our actions. Like you could say, it was Friday the 13th, so I was bound to stick my finger into super glue. Or accidents happen in threes, so after the first mishap, the next two were inevitable. Have you ever said those things? You can get caught up in that pretty easily. This is why, more than anything, it's important to be mindful of the good as well as the bad. There are so many lessons to be learned through the trials that we go through in life. But without celebrating successes along the way, it would be pretty depressing, right? So first, we have to clarify and quantify life's challenges. This can help us change our own perception first. Was this a snag or something that has actually stopped us in our tracks? That's the first question you ask yourself. First, let's realize something. Stopping us in our tracks is temporary. It gives us time, actually, time to pause and, yes, react, but not camp out. Something happens, we take note. How serious is this? Is it life-changing, costly, troublesome, or just a pain to deal with, or what? Then match your reaction accordingly. Sounds easy, right? Logical, yes. But how many times do we have a logical reaction to a challenge? Is that your knee-jerk reaction? Are you pretty logical in the middle of a crisis? We all know that person, and it actually could be you, who has a complete meltdown. And when you finally get to the root of the tantrum, it really should only be about a 3 on the freakout scale. But instead, they're at a 10, or maybe you're at a 10, right? I'm pretty sure this parallels the little boy who cried wolf. Reserve using the bat phone for true emergencies, or you'll be sent straight to voicemail. Remember this, your reaction also affects your long-term health and does nothing to solve the problem. As your body perceives stress, you're all worked up. Your adrenaline glands make and release the hormone cortisol into your bloodstream. This is often called the stress hormone, right? You're stressed out, your cortisol level goes up, your heart rate starts going, your blood pressure goes up. You're in that flight or fight mode right there. It's a great reaction when it's used appropriately. It's kept humans alive for thousands of years. Normal levels of cortisol are released when you wake up in the morning or when you exercise. These levels can help regulate your blood pressure and your blood sugar. These are normal levels. They can even strengthen your heart muscle in small doses. It can even heighten your memory, increase your immune system, and lower sensitivity to pain. The danger, though, is in this fast-paced culture, sometimes we're in high stress mode all the time. If your body experiences chronic stress, you may begin to feel unpleasant and even dangerous effects like fatigue. I mean, chronic fatigue, irritability, just can't get a handle on your emotions, headaches, intestinal problems, anxiety or depression, even weight gain, increased blood pressure. You could even have difficulty recovering from stress from exercise and poor sleep. Boy, that's the number one way to keep you irritable, right? Can't get any good sleep. So instead, try limiting your reaction time. Stop yourself and say, enough. Just say it out loud, enough. This will actually transport you back into the present. It'll put you right back in your body. Next, ask yourself, is this really that big of a deal? Yes? Okay, you can respond accordingly. No? Same as yes. Find an appropriate response. Catching yourself mid-freakout is true progress, really. You can't change your reaction if you aren't even aware you're reacting. You might just need a timeout. Give yourself a second to gather your thoughts so that you can effectively find a solution. You might be quick on your feet, but in a crisis, no matter how trivial, it can slow your appropriate response time. So then next, ask yourself, what will I do next? Notice the question isn't, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, will, the whole word will, insinuates action. This will force you into problem-solving mode and help you move on. There is a solution for everything, even if the solution is to let go and accept that there is no fix. Responding on sheer emotion without any logical forethought will only end in disaster. So take your time. My experience has always been a challenge waits for your response, right? So what's the rush? It's like it's always going to be there, even if you take your time to figure it out. Now, after you move the issue to the side, right, you've overcome the obstacle, or you just decided that it isn't going to ruin your zen, then take stock of your day. What are the positive experiences and places you could find gratitude? Add detail to those. Really spend some time shaping that picture in your mind. This mini celebration will give you a nice boost of joy and happy chemicals in your brain. It might sound cheesy, but it's true. We spend so much time remembering negative events in full color and HD kind of detail, but we gloss right over the positive wins that could really help us to create our ripple, right? Consider journaling or adding these experiences to a calendar. Don't paraphrase here. When you look back on these memories, you'll want to read them in great detail. Now, I've mentioned this before, but my father's in a nursing home, and I'll never forget a statement made by his first roommate, Dave. Now, Dave is 100 and seemingly spry as they come. He always has a smile or a cute anecdote or a quick joke. But if you're around Dave for more than 5 minutes, you'll see that he's on a loop of memories. Every 5 minutes or so, he'll start over as if he's telling it for the very first time. One night he told me, "I wish I would have written more things down." And I knew this meant that Dave wanted to be able to recall events throughout his long lifetime. Something so simple became so powerful as I thought about my own life. How many things have I glossed over, and now I can't recall with vivid details or even the precious part of the memory at all? See, your legacy may positively impact you one day before you even pass it on to the world. So again, what are you waiting for? You have no idea what your life is going to look like and what memories you're going to be able to retain. And wouldn't it be great to have images and documentation to flip through? You know, as a child, your family was in charge of organizing those family photos. You know, the one where everyone is very stiff and being forced to look at the camera. It always took a couple of takes because inevitably your brother had rabbit ears over someone's head. And because it wasn't digital, it was always a toss-up of whether it was a keeper or not. But nowadays, we have digital. And with social media, we have an ongoing archive of not only our most important memories, but every random detail in between. Some of it seems ridiculous now, but down the road, it may be just what you need for a good chuckle or a healthy dose of happy chemicals. Consider working with something like Google Drive, online storage for cheap. This would be a great place to archive your pics, you know, using folders or recognizable titles that you could have a delightful scroll through memory lane. My mom hates to have her picture taken. She's a little better now with smartphones and the spontaneous nature of it all. But she's always putting up a fuss. Many of her pictures that I've taken have her with her mouth open in mid-protest. You may share her displeasure, but remember this. It's the same thing I say to my mom. It's not always about you. Someone else may want to remember this moment and the fact that you were in it. Debbie Biddix says there are 101 reasons to document your life story. Now, I'm not going to read all 101. She's the creator of Cherished Memories. It's a 96-page guide for documenting your life story or that of a loved one. Now she can add 102 reasons for documenting your life story because it's also good for your health. Capturing a life story is more than just an exercise in storytelling. It's a chance to pass along wisdom, life lessons. It gives you an opportunity to exercise your memory, organize your photos and music, and discover if any events from your past are still impacting your today. According to Debbie, it gives you an opportunity for self-growth, reflection, and awareness. It's a chance to strengthen family bonds, friendships, or intimate relationships. You can also capture your health history and even draft an ethical will to share your values, your blessings, your life lessons, your hopes and dreams for the future. You could start by the places you lived and the homes that you lived in. It could be your childhood house, your first home, or the home where your kids were raised. Photos certainly can prompt memories and stories. Or you can use writing prompts like the ones Debbie has collected in Cherished Memories. It's a great way to interview yourself, really, or interview someone else. And she's got it all organized by like birth to 12. Of course, there's all kinds of questions in there. My teen years, my adult life, values and philosophies, my favorites, my family tree, my health history, additional thoughts and stories. And there's extra pages for photographs and articles. So how cool is that? The idea is life is passing so quickly and so many awesome things happen every day. Let's not live our lives like our social feed, where a clever post is buried in a few minutes and we need Facebook memory to remind us of all our most liked times. Create your own legacy, the important memories to you. Weave in details about your connections and cherished moments, where you celebrated success or challenging moments where you dug deep and you overcame. Bradford Wolf, he's a designer from Indiana. He did an exercise where he blogged his story for 365 days. The first thing he realized is this was really for him and not the world. So he really only posted 150 of those days. The rest he kept to himself. And here are a few things he learned from this exercise. First of all, people are important. Talk to people. Show them that you actually care about what they have to say. It stings to feel alone sometimes. The more people you let into your life, the happier you will become. Don't wallow in your past. It is there for a reason. If you want to stop thinking about something, put your thoughts on paper in a daily blog. Then just keep it there. Always look 5 feet in front of you and 5 years ahead. When he started the daily blog, he had no following, no business experience, no connections, no funding, and just a small YouTube channel. It's incredible to see the progression that he made from day one to day 365. Keep your eye on tomorrow. Don't look back and plan for a successful future because it will come. Your mind can really mess with you. Mindset is everything. Don't let bad thoughts control the rest of your day or life. Wake up, smile, and push yourself to do more than you did the day before. Having a positive work ethic is essential to success. If you feel down and depressed or self-doubt starts to seep in, take a deep breath and remember that everything will always work out. It's true. Everything always works out. Might sound crazy, but it's true. That's what he said. Anybody can be smart. And there will always be somebody smarter than you. But the smartest people are constantly seeking more knowledge. I have learned so much about myself, the world, and life in general just from doing this blog and constantly pushing myself to do more. By enveloping myself around numerous experiences, I gain a new taste of life that influences my future ideas. Never stop consuming. Go out, travel, read, talk, listen, watch. Just open your senses to the world. There is so much out there to be known. The more you know, the more powerful you are. Pretty wise words. So documenting your day-to-day can not only help you create your legacy to leave behind, but can also be pretty therapeutic. I'm starting a new outreach program called Senior Connect. I'm really excited about it. It came about partly because of my talk with Dave, my brief talk with Dave, and the fact of writing more things down, and also the work that I've done on connections and joyful interactions, and just the need to reminisce and to go to your happy place more often. Boy, today's world is stressful. And if we can recall happy memories and keep in touch with that, we can keep that healthy dose of chemicals coming at us. So I want to help seniors find that. First of all, I want to help them find close connections, because our elderly is the largest population. It is growing leaps and bounds. Thank you to the baby boomers. And I want to make sure that they're not forgotten, and I make a way for them to keep connected with each other and really explore memories. You can learn so much from people. You know, we share a lot of surface level stuff, right? Just all about the weather, what's happening on TV. You know, we don't really dig into learning more about ourselves. And sometimes when you put a group of people together, they may not naturally go there. So I'm going to help lead them through that. We might be doing a little journaling. It's going to be awesome. It's starting in June. It's called Senior Connect. If you're interested in that, you can definitely reach out to me on encouragementology.com, and I can tell you the locations of those. But as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, or actually my lead-in did, I'm a life coach as well as a recovery coach. And for me, connections is really my platform, and just the power of connecting with people and just kind of sort of moving past technology and really having physical, meaningful connections with other people. So if you would like to learn more about that, you can definitely check me out on encouragementology.com. You can also find me, Encouragementology, on Facebook. I would love to connect with you. And I put out hopefully some inspirational stuff that you can catch on to for through the week. And then, of course, I also podcast my show if you end up missing it or you want to share it with someone else. So I hope you are ready to write your story. I hope you are thinking, geez, I need to get a journal, any kind of piece of paper. Maybe you should even do it on a Google Drive where you can just type it right in there. But let me tell you this about journaling. Don't feel guilty. You know, he kept up 365 days. That's pretty ambitious. And I know when I journal, I have like three of them running, and I will get on there and I'll realize it's been a couple of weeks, and then I'll feel guilty. So I feel like so much has happened in a couple of weeks. I'm going to need to catch everybody up, or my future self, my legacy, what have you. And then inevitably I wear out. So I will say to you, don't wear yourself out. Don't stress yourself out about it. Just write moments. Capture different moments. It could be just brainstorming. It could be whatever you want it to be. You will love reading that someday. So just whatever you think about, write it down. Draw a picture. There's so many different things you can add. If you have a fun article, or and you have some memories around something, add that to your journal. It doesn't have to be a chronological account of your day-to-day. Okay? Is everybody ready to write some things down? I hope I've inspired you to do that. This is the time of the show where we like to recap. Let's talk a little bit about your story. Remember, we started with understanding how you want to be perceived. You need to know what you want your legacy to be before you can actually start writing it, right? You want the, what's the reader going to take away? So think about that first. Maybe put some ideas together around that. You know, perception is reality. And maybe all the good stuff that you do is overlooked because you're not showcasing it or you're not putting enough effort and energy into it. Think about that. What would people, if your story ended today, remember metaphorically, if your story ended today, what would be the takeaway? What would they say about you? We talked about the ripple effect. Boy, that's really a takeaway from tonight's show. I want you to think about that, the ripple effect, your power to create a positive ripple that could be felt beyond. Remember, what you do may impact the people around you. How it impacts them may allow them to impact someone else. So think about how far and wide your reach could go. You know, when you're feeling sort of frustrated and hopeless when it comes to the problems of the world, you know, what are you going to do about it? Well, it starts with you. It starts with your attitude and how you put that energy into the world. You know, just like the day starts and ends with you. When you wake up in the morning, put a smile on your face. That's going to set the tone for your day. When you come and encounter your first person, put a smile on their face. Remember what I said about a smile. You could fake a smile, and then the other person sees your smile, and what will they do? They'll smile. And in turn, it will make you smile. That's the smile ripple. So just remember, you have that power. Use it intentionally. Really think about what you're doing there. You can make a big impact. I developed encouragementology, obviously, which is the practice of instilling hope. And one of the practical application is here's your cue. And here's your cue. If you've heard me speak in the area, you will have heard about here's your cue. So here's your cue is about connecting with someone, understanding, which is listening, and then encouraging, right? That's the way that you can create a ripple effect, just by being more intentional with your connections. Now, you have an opportunity to do that personally and professionally. So no matter what your job is, when you come in contact with someone, think about that. You have a moment. Make it a positive moment. Take that moment. Maybe ask how the person's doing. Definitely look at their eyes. Give them time. Boy, that's something that with technology today, we don't seem to give enough time. Have you seen that? I don't know which show it is. I apologize. You know what? It's King of the Hill, I think. And Bobby, I think that's the child's name. He goes into his mom and said, "Mom, can I have a minute?" And she sets a timer. Have you seen that? Yeah. "Oh, sure, honey, you can have a minute." So she actually puts a minute on the timer. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? You're talking with somebody and they have their phone. Now, their phone may not be, they might not currently be on their phone, but the phone is in their hand. It's just below their face. And they are looking up at you, but you can almost feel like the lower half of their eyes are actually, you know, keeping an eye on any kind of alerts that they might be getting on their phone. So they're just one bing away from losing your attention, right? I mean, that is just no way to interact with someone. Put the phone away, turn it over, move it, don't even have it out. There's a, I can't tell you the statistics, but there is a statistic about having your phone out when you're having a conversation with someone. And just by having it visible, it will cause the other person not to go deeper in their share. They'll keep everything very surface level. And that's, I can find that for another upcoming show. But think about that. Also think about documenting your legacy. We talked a lot about that tonight. But also balancing the good with the bad, right? You might have felt that when I talked about it, about how you can really get stuck on the negative. Somehow the negative can trump the positive, and you really have to step back, take a look at that, quantify, clarify what just happened, right? Otherwise, you can blow it out of proportion. You can have an emotional reaction versus a logical reaction. Very, very important. So think about that. Don't leave your legacy up to your social media feed, right? really write some details. You know, a lot of the things we put on social media are just what we want people to know or we want people to ask questions about. But really dig down into your story. I'm going to challenge you. Don't let negative events stop you from seeing all the positive in your life. Limit your reaction. Quantify the challenge and celebrate the wins. Document the positive to create a healthy legacy you can easily recall and share with others. Do you think you can do that? I know you can. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Someone through until the path was clear.